Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
You praying?
Sure.
Hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers again. You got Adam, Mike, Josiah, and today's topic is unknown. I just decided we're just going to get on here and we're going to shoot the breeze. Because, you know, three first responders, cops, whatever, get together, past two pastors, whatever you are. Pastors like to talk, dude. So I don't think we'll have any problem getting through this one. The only problem is going to be getting through in a timely manner. That's going to be the only problem.
Oh, we got this down.
So again, welcome Thin Line Believers. Hey, so we're spreading our wings a little bit. I put our first video on Rumble today. I didn't want to go with YouTube just because YouTube likes to have their fingers in stuff. So I thought, let's just go with Rumble. So man. Plus
maybe we should,
that was your idea.
Yeah, maybe we should send a link to Dan Bongino.
Yeah. Not there. Not at his level.
All right. Well, before we get too far, let's bring God into this thing. Mike, go for it.
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to talk and to pray and to discuss. Lord, we're told in the book of John that the Spirit will give utterance. And so we pray that you will give utterance to those that are going to listen to this podcast, those that are going to watch it. And that, Lord, there might be something that they could chew on and be ministered to. And that, Lord, we could be edified as well. And so, Lord, speak through us, minister to us as well. And those that are going to be listening to this later on, Lord, your scriptures tell us that your word will not come back void. And so, Lord, we pray that your word would go out and the Lord, it would be fruitful. Speak through Adam, speak through Josiah, speak through myself, Lord, that we might minister to others, God. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And hey, just a little quick note here, because I forgot. I started the audio recording on the side here just a little bit late, but I think if you're tuning into Thin Line Believers, you know where you're listening. So I think we'll be fine. So you both,
amen.
You both said that maybe you had something you'd care to talk about today. So,
well, don't everyone has something to say? No, I spent the last, this weekend, got home today. It was at a men's retreat. A bunch of Calvary Chapels got together out in Buena Vista, Colorado. Was awesome just to be up in the mountains and just seeking the Lord and getting into the Word and just praying and worshiping, you know, getting away. And just, we talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, you know, mentioning how in our busy life, we can get so fixated on our problems and our stresses and we never take time out just to kind of disappear and sit at the feet of the cross and sit at the feet of Jesus and just receive from him. And this weekend I was able to get away with Mountain Life Calvary Chapel and get out and meet up with a bunch of other brothers from the Front Range. And the topic was our identity in Christ. And, you know, for a lot of us, I think we struggle with who we are, right? We identify as police officers or firefighters or nurses or, you know, I'm a Marine or I'm in the Army or the Navy, right? Our identity becomes our job. I don't know if you've ever been in other foreign countries, but when I was lived over in Germany, most Germans would introduce themselves and say, you know, hi, I'm Josiah. I work for Bosch, or I'm an engineer, right? It was what we do is our identity. And so often we find ourselves stressed out when this job isn't working out, or it's not fulfilling us, or we get injured, or something happens, and all of a sudden, you know, the carpet's pulled from underneath our feet, and we're standing there with nothing, and we're lost. And, you know, this whole weekend was just a great reminder. I mean, I love Ephesians chapter 1. It goes through and it talks about who we are in Christ. And it has nothing to do with you or I or our ability to, you know, please God and to do good works. It has everything to do with what Christ did for us upon the cross and who we are in him, right? It says we're chosen, we're predestined, we're blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, he favored us within the beloved. There's so many just awesome topics that we can go through that we can spend the rest of the evening on, but we won't. the joy, I think one thing I'll throw out here right now, and then we can see where we go with this. But the pastor said, our identity is stamped in the knowledge of the Father's love. And that was huge, right? My identity is stamped in the knowledge of the Father's love. Just the fact that I know that God loves me, and he loved me so much that while I was yet a sinner, he sent his son to die for me. That's huge. It's massive. But one of the pastors today said this, and I'll let Mike jump in, or Adam, you can jump in. He said, information not fully embraced will not be accurately applied. Information not fully embraced will not be accurately applied. So if I'm not fully embracing this idea that my identity is in Christ, I'm not going to be able to walk the walk that Christ has called me to walk in the job that I'm in, right? So you know, me being in law enforcement is second to the fact that I am a child of God. And my identity is that I am a Christian, which is huge, especially in this world where we're having issues with, you know, people saying that there's a problem with racism in our society, right? And we begin to separate each other's, and we begin to put each other in camps, and we begin to say, oh, well, I'm white and you're black and you're Hispanic, right? And because of that, we can't have unity. And it's, hey, in Christ, we're one body, right? In Christ, we are Christians. There's no skin color in that, right? There's no race in that. I can go over to Africa and minister and be ministered to by my brothers and sisters in the Lord who are Christians, whose skin's darker than mine. I can go down to Mexico and minister to brothers and sisters and have them minister to me, and we're family, right? Because we all are one in Christ. And that to me this weekend was just huge, to sit back and just to be reminded that I'm a Christian, and I want the world to know that, right? Before I'm, you know, Josiah Hart and, you know, in law enforcement, before I'm Josiah Hart and a pastor, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, and we're one family.
Speaking of racism, what's that terminology that they use in the news media and outlet, alleles or malleles or something like that?
I have no idea.
Different level.
I don't watch.
Like pigmentation, you know? Anyways, speaking of identity, you know, there's a lot of cops and firefighters who find Christ in their careers, maybe after a significant incident, you know, whether it be an officer involved shooting or they got burned pretty badly in an incident. at some point they find Christ. And when you're talking about identity, I know a lot of guys that have, you know, they're your typical cop, typical firefighter, typical soldier, raunchy mouth, you know, they're one way at home and another way in uniform. And then they go through some trial and then they find Christ. And I know that some of them in finding Christ, like, you know how Paul says, I'm a Jew of Jews, I'm a Roman citizen and on, but I count it as in the King James, it says, I count it all dung, right? Compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you're talking about the identity of Christ, I find it funny because, like, as men, not more women, I know more men do. It's like, just say you were saying, hi, my name is so-and-so. And then usually the follow-up questions are, like, I'm sure at the retreat, you're like, hey, what do you do, you know, for work? Because that's how kind of men identify themselves. Women, I think they, you know, ask, oh, how long have you been married or how many kids do you have? They ask along those kinds. And the point that I was trying to get to, when guys go through a significant situation and they find Christ, all of a sudden, the job becomes second class, right? They experience something where they are experiencing a newfound level of knowledge, a newfound level of identity, so to speak, you know? Like many of the people that come to the United States that stand in line legally to become a citizen of this great country, right? Instead of, hey, let's just go through the border without any checks and balances, they become, there's a newfound sense of identity. And I think there's a huge point there, just like you were making, is we are, you know, as the Bible says, we are stamped, we are sealed, you know? I know, just say you got one of those crazy shirts that your the Hart family has t-shirts that they didn't share with the world, you know, that I am my brother's keepers, and there's the insignia. And, you know, all this topic that you're talking about is we're sealed. We're, you know, completely sealed. We're in Christ, you know, and sometimes you forget, hey, I'm of this department or I'm of that division and blah, 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 blah. When in fact, when Jesus Christ, it says he died for the sins or the sin of the whole world, he didn't say he's going to just die for the Jamaicans or, you know, Germans or whoever. He's dying for the sin of the whole world. And I think that's where we have to keep in mind our identity is in Christ, and in Christ, there's no race. There's a human race, but there's no race. There's no division, you know? We might all worship differently in the sense of, you know, when I was younger, I had an opportunity to be in an African-American choir, and their style of worship was, man, phenomenal. I mean, worship was just like jam-packed. I was sweating, singing. I had a tambourine in my hand that someone handed to me, but that's the way it was done, you know? But I also been in churches where the electric guitar, the drums, it's of the devil. And the only version of the Bible that you could read is the King James version, right? And on and on. And at the end of the day, our identity is in Christ, and in Christ, there's no racism, you know?
Absolutely not. And I think that's the point, right? The point is when I mean, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Adam, did I steal it from you?
No, you're good, man. That was on my mind, but that's not where my Bible's open at right now. You're good.
I mean, it's right there. Right. I mean, when you talk about the day that, you know, this was written, there was two groups of people. And within those groups of people, at least in the Gentile side, there was a lot in that group, right? You were either Jew or you were a Gentile. That was it. And so I would take it a step further to even this day and maybe, you know, push some buttons. I would say today there are still two groups of people walking this earth that are the believers and the non-believers. Which group do you find yourself in?
Yeah. And to say Jew and Gentile, you know, now there's neither, that's a huge, massive statement, considering that the Jews of those days, their belief was that the only reason that God created Gentiles was to keep the fires of hell hot.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a huge statement right there. Thank you.
You're right. Right. And we know that, you know, God and Christ, you know, had a, there's a special place for the Jews, even to come. And there still is going to be a special place. God chose these people, right? They're his chosen people. And I'm okay with that. He has a plan for them. And I think that's beautiful and wonderful. And it's a blessing that he has adopted me into that family,
mm-hmm.
right? He's chosen me, you know, this day and the years that I have to be a part of his family, to take on his name and to take on his image and to be able to bear that in the day that I live. And I think that if I begin to fully embrace my identity in Christ, man, the sky's the limit on what I can do and how I could be moldable and used in his hands for his glory, not for mine, but for his glory.
Yeah, you're right though. That's a huge obstacle, I think, is getting to that place where you understand that. And especially being in law enforcement as we are, it's really difficult to grasp something else as our identity, just like you said, Mike, right? I mean, you get in this job, you're taught from day one, you're a cop 24/7, regardless of where, you know, whether you're in that uniform or not. And so that's drilled into you. And so it's hard to say, no, that's not my identity. Even though I can remember in the academy, they were saying, hey, you need to make friends with non-cops, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is your job. It's not your life. Well, that never got anybody on the SWAT. You know that.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't realize this until actually fairly recently talking to my wife. She kind of pointed this out to me, and I think there's a huge amount of truth in this. And I'm not trying to give guys an excuse necessarily as to why they become wrapped up in their careers, but it is kind of God-given in a way. But I think it's because of the fall, right? So, I mean, we're going clear back to Genesis here in chapter 3, starting at verse 17 here. Then he said, then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Verse 18, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. So we can see that from the fall, men were made to be workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just imagine, I wonder if Adam suddenly identified not so much as the first created being, not so much as, you know, the first fallen being, but maybe the first farmer. Hey, I'm Adam. I'm the first farmer. You know, I don't know, but I see this eats guys right and left. And I'm sure some gals too, but you know, in our career field, we see more guys. That's just how it is. And so I see a lot of guys. I see a lot of broken families. I see a lot of infidelity because the job becomes your identity and that job is going to let you down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's say we get hurt and we can't continue doing this job. All of a sudden, I now feel worthless. I now feel everything that I poured my life into for what? And if I could realize and tap into my identity in Christ, well, I know that never changes, right? That's the one constant thing in my life. And I get to then pursue that with a passion and a desire. Heaven is all about worshiping God, right? Heaven is all about sitting at the throne room and worshiping and knowing God fully and completely. Why not start on heaven's agenda right now and jump in and begin to get to know who Jesus is and who he's called us to be and begin to formulate that identity and live in that power and that freedom with that hope and assurance that we have in Christ.
You know, Adam, you bring up Genesis with creation. Mm. And something I realize is I think men and women pour into the identity of being a cop or a firefighter or whatever career, right? You know, when we graduate from high school, there's that pressure. Hey, are you going to go to college? Or are you going to go get a job? Or are you going to go to the military? Or are you just going to stay at home? And, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, it's like, are you going to play Atari? You know, wow. You know, and
Adam doesn't know what that is.
What is that? What is that?
I saw it at a museum once.
Right.
Wow. He's creation. Making us feel old, Mike.
But you know what I realized when Adam, you were mentioning that, is men and women go into careers, whether it be a doctor or a teacher or whatever, because whether they find a job and they stay in that job forever, I think for any non-believer that does go into any career, it becomes their identity, becomes their God, hoping that it speaks life into them. But that's not the truth, right? Because life is in Christ. And so while you guys are talking, I was just reminded, in Christ, I'm a doctor. In Christ, I'm an officer.
Yeah.
In Christ, I'm so-and-so, right? But people that don't know Christ, they don't have that, right? They can't say, in Christ, by the grace of God, I am so-and-so, right? And Paul talks about that. By the grace of God, I am that I am, in the grace of God. And so, you know, a lot of times I think it's easy. I shouldn't say easier, but guys that go through a traumatic incident and in that process of finding hope, you know, and finding Jesus Christ, they were once an officer or once a firefighter, once a soldier. They go through a traumatic incident. God sends someone to them. They receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They have some, you know, injury duty time that they're learning the Bible. They have pastors praying for them. They're taking in Billy Graham, Greg Laurie, Chuck Smith, John Corson, and on and on. And then they're realizing, in Christ, I'm this person. Mm. You know, so when they go to work, it's no longer, hey, I'm a sergeant, you know, I'm a doctor or whatever. No, in Christ, I am this. Absolutely. And I think a lot of times when, you know, we're raising our kids, right? I mean, Josiah is an empty nester. I can't believe I'm saying that. You know, Josiah is an empty nester at the age of 20.
But, yeah, right.
But like
at 12,
you know, at 12. Wow. But I mean, I know you've raised your kids like the Proverbs would say, train them up in the way that they should go. Mm. In the Proverbs, it never says that they should go to university, trade school, whatever. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. You know, I'll be honest with you, as a parent, I have a hard time the thought of sending my son or my daughter to college. You know, number one, I don't want them to go into debt, but who knows what gibberish they're going to be taught at the universities or at school, you know? So that pressure of when you're a senior, oh, you need to take the SAT and you need to go to this university and get this degree. I mean, that's a huge, huge pitfall in the Asian community, especially the Koreans. You know, they're so into, you need to be a doctor or a lawyer, and that's how you're identified. And that's a huge issue amongst Korean American churches. And I, you know, and this is a good topic that we're touching upon, in the sense of our identity is in Christ first, that we were once a sinner and we're saved by the grace of God. And then whatever falls along that, after that, right? In Christ, I'm saved by grace and I'm a student, or I'm, you know, I work for waste management collecting trash, or I'm a trooper, or I'm a deputy or officer or a firefighter, but it comes after in Christ, you know? And if we don't understand that concept, we're living for a career that doesn't have life. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. We work for a pension and retirement, but if you die, and I've done a lot of funerals in my life, if you die, and that's 100% guarantee, we're all going to die one day, right? We don't get to carry that with us anymore, right?
And yeah, what do we get to carry? We get to carry our identity in Christ.
Yes.
Again, it comes back down to the truth of you're either in the family or you're not, right? You're either a Christian or you're not. I mean, Paul talks about it in Ephesians. He says, so remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, done by hand in the flesh. At that time, still talking about the Gentiles, right? At that time, you were without the Messiah, excluded from citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, with what? No hope and without God in the world. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you were far away and have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah, for he is our peace, who made both groups one. He tore down the dividing wall of hostility in his flesh. He did away with the law of the commandments and regulations, so that they might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both God in one body through the cross and put the hostility to death by it. When Christ came, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is being fitted together in him and is growing into a holy sanctuary in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. And that's all the way down to verse 22. It's exactly what you're saying, Mike, right? We're one family, one household. We were this apart from Christ. We are now this in Christ, right? So it's not bad to be in law enforcement. It's not bad to be a doctor. It's not bad to be a lawyer and or a soldier on the battlefield, right? God has called us to those positions, to be those men and women, to be his mouthpiece in those places. But Christ needs to come first, right? He needs to be our focus. He needs to be our passion, our desire. The very, well, it says there, he's our peace. How many do we know and work with who just are hopeless, who are, you know, meandering through this life with no hope and no peace, and they're struggling, and they're looking to this world to satisfy the only thing that Christ can satisfy. And we need to come into the household. And Christ has made it possible. And he says, hey, follow me, right? Accept me. I died for you. He poured his blood out for us. I mean, that's huge, right? Without blood, we're dead.
When you said that, it reminded me of, is it Augustine who said, when a young man came to him, he says, you know, what should I do? You know, and I remember Augustine said something to the degree, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and do whatever you want. You know, because why? Well, if we're in Christ, and I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and strength, in Christ, I could be a doctor. In Christ, I could be a janitor. In Christ, I could be a father. In Christ, I could be a mother. In Christ, you know, because in today's culture of, you know, I better choose my words carefully because this is being recorded. You know, in this cancer culture of you offended me, you know, and you're offending this community, you're offending that community, you know, like when this whole hashtag stop Asian hate, I forget who texted me. They're like, hey, does this bother you? I was like, is this a joke? I'm like, stop Asian. Hey, what is this? You know? And when I turned on the news and I looked on some of the YouTube channels, I was like, you know, someone got beat up. That's it. I was like, okay, why are we politicizing this? Jesus Christ died for all this stuff, you know? And when I was asked that question, I didn't really know how to answer that. I said, you mean there really should be stop, you know, sin, really. And Jesus Christ died for that. And I mean, is there racism issues in our country? Yeah, I believe there are some racist issues here and there. But I mean, I look at it this way. Are there issues amongst Asians that hate other Asians? Yes. Are there issues amongst African Americans or Blacks that bother other African Americans, Blacks, right? Are there things that, you know, Caucasian or white people do that bother other Caucasian or white people? Yes, you know, but it's still all a sin, you know? And so when I got that text, stop Asian hate, I'm like, stop this nonsense, you know, and this cancer culture stuff, because what's appalling to me are Christians that are jumping on this bandwagon. You know, there's some, you know, well-known pastors that are like identifying with the BLM movement, not Blue Lives Matters, but Black Lives Matters, you know, defund the police. And some of these pastors that are jumping on this bandwagon, it's very concerning me because, wait, did you like just put the Bible aside and just got political and say, oh, I can't, you know, all this, you know, insensitivity to the Black community or the Asian community. I'm like, time out. Jesus Christ died for all that. You're a pastor. Why are you jumping on the bandwagon for that stuff? You know,
the cross itself is offensive, right?
Right. Mm. Right. And that's where those of us that genuinely believe, you know, this, the word of God, right? When we go to work, in Christ, we are to honor God. We're going to do our job, but we have to honor the Lord, you know, and honor the scriptures. And sometimes I'm seeing a lot of Christians in uniform, out of uniform, whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, even pastors that are putting this aside and making social justice issues a bigger situation. I don't think that's right, because we all realize in Christ, we're forgiven. In Christ, I'm saved and I'm loved. Now, if you're a dumb Christian and you think, I'm going to commit a robbery and then I'll repent, you still got to go to jail, man. You can't be doing stupid stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you know, the matter of the heart is the heart. And if we don't know Jesus Christ, that's what the main issue is, you know? And some of the most genuine, the most committed Christians that I've met are those that come out of jails, you know, those that committed heinous crimes. They go to jail and they've got however many years they're spending. Someone comes to them with the love of Jesus Christ, shares the gospel, gives them a Bible, and then they become a brand new person, you know, because they know the crime they committed deserves whatever penalty that they have. But when they are released from prison for whatever reason, they have a better, I think, in my opinion, a better understanding of forgiveness and grace than a lot of Christians who's never been to jail, you know, because when they went to jail, they went there because they murdered, they committed a heinous crime or something. They go to jail, they find Christ, and they're like, holy smokes, I could be created new in heaven. I'll be a new being. I know I committed a crime and I know I need to pay for that. But they have a genuineness that I've seen over the years in ministry where they're remorseful and they're changed. You know, I mean, how many of us have taken people to jail? We never know if that person's going to find Christ in jail, and they needed to be arrested that day. They go to jail. Remember that story in the book of Acts? Paul and Silas, I think, were praising the Lord and there was an earthquake, you know, and the jailer was like, oh, it's my life, right? Paul says, don't do anything to yourself, right? I mean, could you imagine the other prisoners? They're like, man, what's going on? What's this praising the Lord thing that there's an earthquake and prison doors could be opened up? I mean, obviously, we're not told in scripture what happened to them, but the witness that was on the jailer and his family and all the prisoners in that area, right? And so the reaffirmation of knowing, hey, I am in Christ, right? I am loved. I'm a child of God. If I die here on earth, I'm going to heaven, right? That's, I think, it's huge.
Yeah, and I got to keep reminding myself of this. And I think how I do this practically, and I'm kind of curious about how you guys keep your mindset right. It wasn't long ago, I was actually listening to a Jack Hibbs with Tony Perkins, right? Mm-hmm. And Tony Perkins said something about the Puritans and how they viewed everything that they did as an act of worship, right? And so that's how I try to keep keep my identity right in my own mind, is I view, okay, I'm going to exercise. Okay. I'm certainly no Olympian, but you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm not this exercise guy, whatever. I'm worshiping the Lord here. Mm. I put on my uniform. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do the Lord's work as an act of worship to him. It's not being a cop. It's being a servant for the Lord. What I eat, you know, not only do we thank the Lord for our food, but, you know, I'm making sure that what goes into me is used as energy to worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I try to keep my mind in the right place.
I mean, I don't think there's no other practical way of doing it. You know, as a husband, right? You see it in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul will talk about, you know, husbands loving your wives respecting your husbands, and he goes on to even say slaves and masters, right? We talk about slaves. Well, yeah, if I'm working, I'm entering into a quote-unquote slave master relationship with my boss, right? I mean, he's my boss, I work for him, I show up, I do work. I'm to do that also to glorify and honor God and to reflect him. I mean, we're created in the image of Christ, right? that is who we are. We're Christ image bearers, and that is the privilege we get when we have the knowledge that we are Christ, when we have accepted what Christ did for us upon the cross, and he finished it. He paid that price. Then I get the privilege of being a tool in his hand, right? I get a privilege to be maybe the mouthpiece for him that day when I need to talk to someone on the street, or, you know, share with my son or encourage my wife. I get to be his mouthpiece. How am I reflecting him? How am I representing him? You know, when I put on my uniform, I'm representing that department, right? And so there's procedures and things that I need to follow to represent them correctly, right? My actions, the things I do, will not only affect me, but it will affect them. And when I take that uniform off, well, it affects everyone else also. And so when I realize that in Christ I'm that, well, then my actions that I do, man, all those things are a reflection of who Christ is in me. And I want the world to see, you know, the beauty of who he is and what he's done, because it brings peace, because it brings hope, because it brings life. And so absolutely, the practical side of that, right, is realizing that everything I'm doing, exactly what you said, Adam, it's a worship to my Lord. Right? It's a worship to my Savior. And as I begin to worship him in spirit and in truth with my whole heart, then that's going to pour out into every aspect of my life. And now that becomes my focus, right? No longer is it, I have to go to work. Oh, now I get to go to church, or I have to go, you know, go do this. Oh, I get to go work out. Oh, now I can worship the Lord. No, now my life becomes that worship service to the very God who created me and has called me a part of his family.
Man, that was hard. Deep,
right? Mm-mm. It's the haircut, Lord. I think is what it is.
Freshly shaven.
Yeah, you got the monk thing going on.
I know, right? There.
Jeez. Nice.
It's a passion. It's a passion.
What, the haircut?
That and walking with the Lord.
I worship the Lord by shaving my head.
When we get to heaven, Adam, we're going to be like, hey, where's Josiah? I'm right here, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna have holy hair, baby.
I got the mullet going.
I'm gonna ask God to keep this. He gave me a good noggin for the loss of hair, so I'm okay.
It's the glow. It's the glow.
I put in my order for a beard already. So
right? Oh, it's that good old days. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Adam, I was really blessed about what you just made that comment about. You know, Tony Perkins mentioned the Puritans, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, anything that they did, that is an act of worship, you know, mm-hmm. something that
Amen.
I've been telling, you know, my son and my daughter, you know, Colossians chapter 3, I believe verse 17 and 20, it says, whatever you do in word or in deed, you know, do it unto the Lord. I think verse 21 says, do it heartily in the King James, you know, and I think, I failed a lot in this, in the sense of, man, if I honored God in my speech and whatever I did, how much of a better witness that would have been to whoever was watching me. You know, how many times I failed in my speech, you know, how many times I failed, you know, in my doing. I remember growing up as a Christian, at times in high school, I had a potty mouth. You know, and yeah, I mean, like, you know, the F word wasn't faith when it came out of my mouth. It was something else that rhymes with yuck.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised it was just in high school. So,
You know, and then, I mean, obviously, like growing up in my family's house, we, you know, we're going to a Baptist church and my dad was a military guy. And so, you know, I mean, to think back, you know, I'm like, man, I had a little potty mouth as a teenager. And that wasn't reflective of my Lord.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And Josiah, you were just mentioning, when we put on our uniforms, we're representing that department, right? And Paul says throughout his writings, put on Jesus Christ, right? We're putting on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm being an ambassador. And back then I look back, I'm like, I had a little potty mouth, you know? And I've ran into so many brothers and sisters over the years. How do I stop from cussing? I believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm like, and I'll share with you something real briefly that the Lord shared with me. So years ago, my mom had shared with me, read a proverb every day of that day. Yesterday was the first, right? And so I read Proverbs 1. Now I'm just going to touch upon one verse. In verse 23, it says, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Again, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. And so, I was reading that yesterday, and I'm like, who doesn't want God's spirit to be poured on you, right? Mm. I'm like, man, I need God's spirit every day. In my marriage, in my parenting, you know, at work, I need God's spirit. And I have this tendency whenever, I don't know what you guys do with your protein jugs, but if my protein jugs become empty, I just keep it on the counter and I throw trash in it, right? My wife gets bothered. She's like, just throw it in the dumpster or the trash already. But I'd rather fill it with trash since it's empty. You know, that way I'll take it out to the trash once it's full. And as I was putting a piece of wrapper in there, the Lord kind of gave me revelation. I still haven't processed it all today. But when God says, I will pour out my spirit, right? I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make my notes. I realized, do I have junk in my life that's still in my life, in a jar, so to speak? And I'm going to grab one of these decorative jars that my wife has, right? Obviously, there's some stuff in here. And I realized, do I have junk in my life where if God wants to pour out his spirit into me, how much of his spirit can I contain or attain? Because I have other stuff taken over. You know, because if I take this and pour more liquid into it, it's only going to fill so much, you know? And I think God really wants to pour out his spirit onto mankind, unto his sons and daughters. But because we have other things in our life, and it could be other things, you know, hobbies that take up huge amounts of time, right? You know, I'm sure it's the same in Oregon as same as in Colorado. We have cops and firefighters that have extracurricular activities where they need another job and all the OT they can get to pay for that extracurricular activity. They got the side-by-side. They got a fifth wheel. Some of them have made like a coach as a camper, you know? They're filling their lives with fishing or whatever it might be. God wants to pour out his spirit. And then I realized, wait, my cup's already full, Lord. I can't take it too much of your spirit. Just give me a little bit, you know? And I think our experience with the Lord is minimized because these junk, though not be sinful, I think it's the enemy's desires to take up our time so that we are not fully filled with the Spirit of God, you know. And years ago, I taught a Bible study called Pour Me, like P-O-U-R, right? Instead of like E-O-R, Pour Me, P-O-O-R, right? If I want God to pour me out, I must first, I guess, empty of myself of the world, empty of myself of extracurricular activities that might be getting in the way of God using, you know, because I want to be used by God. I'm sure a lot of people do, and people that are going to listen to this later on, hey, I want to be used by God, but hey, I've signed up for bowling league. I've signed up for a hunting league. I've signed up for a baseball league. I signed up for a softball league. I signed up for all this stuff. And Christ, serving Christ is at the bottom. And when God says, I will pour my spirit unto you and I will make my words known unto you, I'm like, man, I just got convicted. I'm like, Lord, do I have extracurricular activities in my life? Like Adam, like you were saying, that's not an act of worship. You know, but I mean, it's fun. It's not a sin to go hunting. It's not a sin to go camping. But are those extracurricular activities, is it filling in such a void of time that you don't have time to serve the Lord? You don't have time to be poured out, so to speak, where God could pour in to be poured out. And I think that where you touched upon is, whether I'm working out, whether I'm eating, America's a little bit gluttonous about that, but that's a whole nother story, right? But whether I'm, you know, Paul says, whatever I do in word or in deed, is it an act of worship? Can God pour into me our lives as fathers, as officers, as friends, as confidants? Can God pour in his spirit to us? But yet, our lives are so filled with other stuff that it's like, hey, I can only give you this much. You know, it's like Josiah and I were drinking coffee one day at this place called Stout House. This local coffee shop. And unbeknownst to the little lady that was working there, she didn't realize how much coffee we could put down, you know? And she's like, would you like a refill? She's like, yes. Would you like a refill? Yes. And because the more that we drank, the more that she could refill it. And I, you know, it's just kind of like that common sense of, you know, like Adam, you were saying, the Puritans said, whatever they did it as an act of worship. And so in today's age of 2021, you have to ask yourself, Lord, is there anything that I'm doing that's fulfilling time and realm that's not purposeful for your kingdom? You know, and let's admit it, we all have fellow officers and firefighter friends that have those fifth wheels, that have those skis, that have motorcycles, and on and on and on and on and on. They have time to do that, but yet they don't have time to go to a missions trip, go to, you know, church, go to a youth group study.
This is why I come on here. I just want you to know, this is why I come on here. This isn't to share. I'm like in the pews right now.
Yeah, no.
Well, like you're saying, Mike, this also reflects our family, right? If I spend time with my family, you know, I put it this way. When I'm out in the public, I am not only representing me, but I represent my wife, right? We're one. So the actions, the words, the things I do, people are going to go, people might know me as, oh, that's Anya's husband, right? So now if I'm out there doing whatever I want to do, however I want to do it, that's who I reflect, right? My actions are reflecting her. My actions are now reflecting my sons. My actions are now reflecting the church I attend. My actions are now reflecting Christ. And so as I put in my body healthy foods, as I begin to, you know, work out, as I begin to watch what I'm saying, right? Being taught the words that Christ wants to put in my lips, then I'm reflecting in him. I'm reflecting that family that we talked about that is filled with amazing men and women of God who have transformed their world because they were willing to sacrifice themselves on the altar and say, God, here I am, right? Presenting my body as a living sacrifice for God's glory. And so I'm putting Josiah's needs and wants and desires to the side. I'm saying, God, make those your desires, your what you want from my life. And as I begin to spend time with him and worship him with all my actions, man, I find a peace and a stability in the storms that life brings, because man, my Father's in control of all those, right? Those storms are under his feet. There's nothing in this life, nothing in this world that could ever separate me from the love of God and who I am in Christ. I mean, Polycarp in facing his death, you know, the Roman soldiers come and come to take Polycarp away, right? He's 86 years old. We're going to take you away. And church history would tell us that Polycarp spent an hour praying for them and fed the soldiers who came to arrest him. And then when faced with the question to deny Christ, Polycarp would say, 86 years, God has never failed me. I'm not going to fail him now, right? And I'm paraphrasing his statement, but the whole idea is for 86 years, Polycarp says, Christ never failed me once. So why now am I going to fail him? Mm-hmm. Do what you need to do. And he gave his life for this faith. And I am willing to say, Lord, help me to have such a faith. Help me to have such a walk and a worship with you that no matter what I face, there's a peace and a stableness in my life that God, I can take it to the end, because I know that when I breathe my last, I'll breathe my first in heaven and look my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, in the eye. And that will be a glorious day.
Listen, you're both really smart. I'm going to close this out though, because I got critters outside that need to go to the barn. So I'm running out of light, even though you guys lost it a long time ago. So I think there's a good, at least for me anyway, there's a good couple ways for me to kind of, I don't know, get my finger on the pulse as far as where am I in my relationship with Christ, in my identity and that kind of stuff. One is a verse that I had in my home gym for a really long time. And in fact, I had to use whatever that magic eraser thing to get it off of my whiteboard because it was on there so long. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Mm. Right. And I'm taking just the last little chunk of it here, you know, evil things come out of, you know, evil heart anyway. And so that's a big one for me. You know, you talked about having a foul mouth when you were younger and whatnot. And the wrong things were in your heart, just like the wrong things were in my heart. Right. And then the other thing that I put a lot of weight on is you'll know them by their fruit. And so, Man, am I putting out good fruit or am I putting out nasty, rotten stuff? So I can ask my wife and she'll tell me very truthful if I'm being fruitful or if I stink. So that's how I kind of measure my own pulse there.
Amen.
Spiritually. So
out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
There you go. Yep. So I'll let one of you guys pray us out. I'll give one last little update on contacts and whatnot that we have in the works, and then we'll shut it down and I'll go get my critters.
I'll pray for us. Cool. Heavenly Father, thank you that God, you have chosen us, that you have called us out of this world to walk a life that will reflect you. And Lord, I know for myself, and if my brothers would let me speak for them, we have not obtained that. Lord, we are far from reflecting you in every aspect of our life. And God, I thank you that tonight we could just sit here and be real and open your word and say, Father, we want to belong to that family and we want to reflect you with our words, with our actions and with our deeds. We will worship you. And so, Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit, that that which comes out of our hearts and into our mouths would reflect your words and your love for those that are not a part of this family. And I thank you that you have called each and every one of us to the circles we're at to influence those lives. And so, Lord, for those that don't know you, help us to use words to draw them into this family. They might have that hope and that peace and that future in a family that is not broken, but is strong, loving, caring, and forever. We give you the praise, and it is in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One last scripture, you guys mentioning the heart, just came to mind. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
Not Josiah heart, the heart of the Lord.
It's way better.
Okay, on that note, hey, again, we are Thin Line Believers, okay? We had Pastor Josiah and Pastor Mike here with us this week, as usual. And I am Adam. We are on Facebook, Thin Line Believers. We are on Instagram. And as of a couple hours ago, we are on Rumble. Rumble.com, look up Thin Line Believers. And hopefully, we'll do some more of that.
Amen.
One way you can help us is you can share some of these videos. Okay. You can share the Rumble. You can share the audio. You can share the audio via whatever social media platform that you have. Share it with your friends. You got somebody that's struggling, point them our way. We struggle too. I mean, Mike and Josiah struggle just to get out of bed. They're older than me. So they have our struggles too, right? So send them our way. You got prayer requests, DM us, send us an email, thinlinebelievers@gmail.com. And also one last thing that's in the works. We are working on some apparel. I know we had some in the past and it sold out pretty quick, but it was very inefficient. So we're getting a new platform up and running for you guys. If you want that kind of thing. And it's more so because if you're like me, it's hard finding, you know, some good quality clothing that doesn't, you know, point me as some kind of turd. I don't know. So anyway, that's just me. So anyway, thanks for tuning in, and God bless. We will pick this up again soon.